Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2 on 670 The
We do have a Pope. His name is Pope Bob. The Americans going to the Vatican and talking to Pope Leo about sports continues.
So as you can hear right there, someone yells, and he responds with,
Wow.
Do you remember the roughly 24 to 48 hour period after we learned that the Pope was from Chicago where we argued over whether or not he was a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan?
Clear up the thing about the Cubs and White Sox.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan.
Like, Pope called into the meatball machine.
We can't handle that as a society.
You put Tyson Bagent in a quarterback, you solve the 4,000-yard problem. And here's something no one's talking about. You know what I mean? The McCaskies, they're cheap.
It pains me that the Cubs lost, but I get joy out of hearing Pope Leo from Chicago scream it.
Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
They lost! If only we could talk about that today. But instead, it is the conflict of man. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And Robbie, I think, said it best in our pre-show meeting, Robbie Triano, when I think we all sat there and went, are we still talking about this? Is this still happening? Are we all really still talking about whether or not Troy Aikman was purposefully dissing on Caleb Williams on Monday Night Football? This is where we are. Like, things are so good with a three-game win streak that instead we've got to find something and we're here. And while I understand fans may not feel that way because of the contrast between the discussion surrounding Jaden Daniels and his discussion in the difference when it came to Caleb Williams, I stand on record with some of this. As we've said, you know, Jaden Daniels earned the right to be talked about differently after he led his team to the NFC Championship game.
It's very simple when you think about who was drafted first, who was drafted second, and what the results of their first years were. Now, I understand there's context there and who the coaching staffs were for each of those players. But objectively, Jaden Daniels has had a better NFL career than Caleb Williams. But also, while I was trying to figure out why is this such a big deal, it should not be talked about anymore. But people on the Bears side have talked about it, and that's why it continues to linger.
So, of course, we realized in our pre-show meeting that this falls under the category of one of our favorite segments here on Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Is This Petty? The Is This Petty music has now been sounded. The alert has been sent to all of us. And by the way, like, we want you to chime in on this. Like, you are free to have opinions about this. 312-644-6767. We let you chime in on the text line. We let you call in. You can talk about it on Twitch. Twitch is a show that has its own show, I feel like, on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. But I think there's also a reason we're still talking about this. And it's because, number one, QB1 had a pretty big reaction to it, both yesterday and on Instagram, you know, both with the media and on social media. And head coach has been talking about it now for multiple days. And he might have been laughing at it and using it as motivation. And they are absolutely allowed to use that kind of stuff as motivation. I'm sure at times, if we're relevant enough, they've used our stuff as motivation. And I always love to say, prove me wrong, because that means good things have usually happened if that's the case. So while I feel like they can use it as a discussion and we can talk about it too, it's still a topic because they are adding info to this that maybe we didn't have previously.
All right, let's start with this. Let's start with the Instagram post, because he goes out there, he goes back home. Caleb Williams wins on Monday Night Football on the biggest stage in football during the regular season. And then he decides to address Troy Aikman's criticisms of him by posting something on social media. Is that petty? Let's start with that. Is that petty?
Yeah, I think we have to examine it. I feel like it's, I don't know if it's petty because you can use it as motivation in a game and say, showed you. But also, Troy Aikman had some good points about where there were other players open. And when I was watching it, I thought to myself, is this more just a compliment of the play design? Because people have gotten open in these routes. You have these other reads here. You're telling us what you see. I thought the most petty nugget about all of this, and it's not even petty, the most information-filled nugget about all of this became the discussion around what we have both done as broadcasters of games, which is the call, Zoom meeting, conference call, whatever you want to call it, where you usually have that for background information with the coaches of both teams, for example, or say Caleb Williams. What's even more interesting to me is if you listen to Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score regularly, then you know Caleb Williams isn't always on time, because when he was going to talk to us, we got a scheduled time back in August during training camp of 1 o'clock, and it ended up being like 2:15 because practice goes long. You may get treatment. You have stuff to do. That certainly happens. But the difference is Mark Grody and I, you know, Mark's got a cat and I got a houseplant, and we had nowhere to be for another hour and a half. So we stayed. The afternoon show was kind enough to interview or let us interview Caleb Williams on their time because it was good for the station. But this is something that is very common, I feel like, where sometimes practice will run long or something like that. Sometimes PR people can be more, I guess, urgent when it comes to meeting a time frame or something. But if he's got something he's working on, and we know he's had that before at the facility where people say he stayed late a few times, you know, more so than maybe expected, then that, how does that factor in? Because he wasn't able to have that conversation with Aikman.
Wasn't it Jalen Johnson who said he's seen his car in the parking lot a lot more this time around than he did his rookie season?
Right, and that's it. Like, he's got to stay late to make up for extra work. Who among us hasn't done that?
Yes, that happens at every job.
But the problem is sometimes it means meetings don't take place that you were supposed to have.
And listen, as a, you know, staff, as a team, you understand that these meetings, he just had one at the start of the season. They played the Vikings on Monday Night Football. You know what it is. You've got to connect with Troy Aikman at a designated time, or at least a window, right? We do this every week.
It's a professional courtesy, but I also don't think that Troy Aikman was exacting some sort of revenge on Williams by saying that stuff during the game.
Now, he may not be exacting revenge from a standpoint of, oh, well, you didn't want to talk to me? Well, watch this. I'm not saying that, which falls under the is this petty trademark, right? But I will say this. The lack of communication, obviously a lot has changed for Caleb Williams since right before game one and right before game five. The insight that maybe could have been gathered from that conversation now can't take place. And if you've talked to Jaden Daniels and you understand his track and where he is coming off injury, all that stuff, you have a lot more to say about Jaden Daniels from that added vantage point of Jaden Daniels than you do about Caleb Williams from his added vantage point and what he's learned and what he's gotten from point A to point, I guess that's G, if we're doing the alphabet. I guess F, because that's game number 5.
Definitely not B.
Yes.
And when we talk about bias sometimes, it is also about the access that you guys don't see. You know, when you just simply know more about somebody because you've been given more access, it can come off as bias. You know, and your job is to try to make sure you get the same amount of information. You don't control the information coming out of somebody's mouth. You just try to do the same thing in your process to prevent that from happening. And I think that that's something that is on all of our minds whenever that's part of our job. You know, you don't want to let something like that kind of determine how you talk about it. Then again, yeah, we aren't making the big bucks like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, but I feel like Bears fans should also understand, like, when we're watching this together, you want to know about the other plays that could have happened. You want to see what the level 201 and 301 of the Ben Johnson offense are. Because I want to look for that and say to myself, when does Caleb Williams make those throws? Because I'm confident that he will. You know, that was how I interpreted it. But being a fan is being a fan. And I've always said there's more than one way to be a fan. Like, people call us names and I'm like, this isn't personal. You're just very passionate about the Cubs right now. And do you cross the line sometimes? Sure. And then we get to, we get to have our boundaries. Like, you call us names, you get blocked from the text line sometimes. You know, but you can be a fan. I'm not, it's just, you know.
You can be a fan and we can be petty.
Keep it understandable. Exactly. But do I think any of this is petty? I don't know. But let's. Part of the reason we're saying this isn't just because we plucked it out of thin air. I don't need to thrive on conflict. Like, go to your nearest social media site to do that in the year of our Lord 2025. Like, this is a good problem to have. And we're talking about this and not, I don't know, the results of a Bears failure in Washington like we did the year before. So let's listen to what Caleb Williams had to say about his Instagram post and then also his thoughts overall.
So I was scrolling through Instagram yesterday. And yep. Noticed you made a reference to maybe a broadcaster calling a play Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of kind of a TV copy or whatever you saw?
Yeah, it's fun. Fun trolls. I was messing around. Yeah, DeAndre made a great play. And, you know, obviously he had some stuff to say about us or me. I mean, we came out victorious in the end. So, you know, made a little fun moment of it, and that was about it.
And how do you draw, or how do you differentiate between kind of fair criticism and something that maybe you don't think is fair?
Yeah, I could care less. It's kind of how I think I've said multiple times over my time being here. Fair, not, life isn't fair. People are going to say what they have to say. We win, we lose. People have stuff to say. It was lucky. It was not lucky. People have stuff to say. Have a bad game, have a good game. You know, people have stuff to say. So it doesn't matter. We're only worried about what's going on here within this building and with these guys. So that's all I can say about that.
Okay. What we will be petty about is you couldn't care less.
Well, I was just going to agree with him. I say, yes, you actually could care less because you seem to care a lot. You could care very much less than what you care, as demonstrated by his answer and his thou doth protest too much kind of stance that he took, because he kind of kept saying how he doesn't care.
But here's the other part. Like, go back to the article that came out from our friend Dan Wiederer in The Athletic, where the headline was like, Ben Johnson doesn't just want to beat his opponents. He wants to embarrass them. Am I, to a man, mad at the head coach for being like, showed you, Troy? No! No, I am not. Don't act like you wouldn't say the same thing amongst your friends. It's just jarring because you hear it on a microphone and you hear it a couple times. I know what drives that man. I'm 100 million billion percent okay with it. I'm also 100 million billion percent okay with knowing, like, what a quarterback thinks of a play that I'm not seeing the all 22 of, where he's seeing if somebody was open or not. So that's how I feel about that. But, like, Ben Johnson also kind of set the tone here when he, for multiple days, made a comment about it and did it with a smirk. And I'm not normally one to read into all of that, but you knew what he was doing. And frankly, that should be fine. Should be fine. You should be able to say, like, well, showed you guys. Like, woo-woo.
It is, but, and this is where you don't want the team to get ahead of itself, right? Because, yes, they are 3-2 through five games, which is good. Even if some of those wins were questionable in terms of how dominant they were or whether or not they were quote unquote lucky. It's the freaking NFL. You take the wins where you can get the wins. You take the dub anytime there is one available to you. And that's what the Bears have done the last 3 weeks. I think the bigger thing is Ben Johnson saying one thing right after the game, the next morning, versus what he said during his press conference the day after where he kind of walked it back, it seemed like to me, Layla, just a little bit, because he talks about the fact that, well, you know, respect's got to be earned. And clearly he doesn't feel like they've earned the respect for him to feel the way he felt initially, which is, wow, they really not giving us a lot of praise for what we're doing right now.
Our segment here, Raheem Harris and Grody, talking about the he said, he said, they said, we said between Troy Aikman, Ben Johnson, and Kayla Williams is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And we are getting a lot of texts about this too, which I feel like are fair. People are talking about what they took issue with. Like, for example, people are saying on the text line, like, and our text line, for whatever reason, is breaking up long text today in a really chaotic way. So sometimes it's hard for us to read the whole message. But the people fighting back and saying it wasn't necessarily the way he talked about the Bears. It was how he was praising Daniels. When, to be fair, yeah, Daniels had very critical turnovers that helped them lose the game. And as we've said, the message on the other side about Daniels sitting there and smiling wouldn't be taken as calm and collected if it were Caleb Williams being that way after throwing an interception. In fact, during that game, I recall Caleb being pretty fired up and yelling some stuff on the bench and thinking, that's a guy who's trying to do the most right now to fix the solutions in this game.
It's the status quo right now that Jaden Daniels has the benefit of a doubt because he's earned it. Caleb Williams has not. That's just the way it is. It's fine. It's fine.
What do we always say in the discussion around bat flips and home runs? A lot of pitchers that I respect will say, the best way to show me up is to hit the home run, and the best way I show you up is to throw a strike. And guess what the Bears did? They hit the home run off the pitcher. And if they were the pitcher on the mound in this scenario, they threw the strike and the strikeout that secured the game. To the victors go the spoils. And if Ben Johnson wants to say, showed you with a smirk, or if Caleb Williams wants to say, you know, wants to laugh about it a little bit more because that's where you're finding motivation. I don't know, man. This is the city that Michael Jordan built. Mm. I'm pretty sure that MJ would take all that stuff personally.
Yeah, I think Caleb's... I understand he's taking it personally. I just wish that we could have moved on from this. Him spending about 4 minutes talking about it yesterday doesn't help us move on from this.
Well, and to be fair, we're also talking about it.
Yeah, but that's because Caleb's talking about it.
But I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and shy away from topics.
Right. But I think we addressed this yesterday before Caleb talked, and if nothing had changed, we would have moved on to something else. But guess what? Caleb wanted to make it a thing.
But you know, okay, cool. Make it a thing against the Saints. Does that mean you beat the Saints?
Yes.
Let's go.
Absolutely. Like,
whatever you need to dig down deep and get what you need done. And I think that that's most important. 773. So are you going to hate cheer the Pope now like you do the Brewers? You're asking this to the former White Sox pre and post game host and a guy who grew up as a White Sox fan. You think that's working for you?
Oh my goodness. Just let it ride.
But that's kind of the point here. It's all kind of in the same vein.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Hilarious. Or not. Coming up next here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We do want to ask a question about this. This Bears team is on a 3-game win streak. And that means that they did it with players who were acquired and drafted by the general manager. Marshall asked this question right after the game ended on Monday night. So how much credit does Ryan Poles get for all of this when he's also gotten a lot of criticism? Let's discuss next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheem Harris and Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I know there's a lot of questions O-line. Feel really good about that position now. Guys can plug in right now and play, and there's a couple guys that over the course of the year should continue to get better to help us in the future, this year or even down the road. So we're in a good shape there. Feel good about where we are.
That was Ryan Poles. How long ago was that, Robbie?
That'd be August 26th.
August 26th. Since then, we've seen a few things, haven't we? Bears 3-2. They went through their bye week. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And as I qualify the is this petty game with saying that's a good problem to have when you're concerned about whether or not the analyst was too critical of your quarterback after a win, I say the same thing in this vein. Like, as critical as we have been, and I think fairly, of Ryan Poles and his talent evaluation and acquisition, what we're also seeing is a coach that he had a hand in hiring doing the right things with the talent enough to win one score games, which was not the hallmark of his previous head coach. 6-20 was Matt Eberflus in one score games previous to Ben Johnson taking over. So the question was asked, how much credit should Ryan Poles get for this Bears three-game win streak? And I think for me, you do get some knowing that you are part of putting in a proper infrastructure, but I still feel like there are concepts and one-on-one battles that certain high-dollar players aren't winning enough to say, oh, well, you've certainly turned this thing around, lock, stock, smoking barrel, like now we can move on and everybody's fine. Like the fact that we're still asking in our meeting, for example, among the four of us, Robbie, Ray, Marshall, and me, about whether or not the Bears should be buyers at the trade deadline, that gives you an indication that this roster isn't complete. The team isn't complete based on what we know. And there's been a lot of money thrown around this offseason. So that concerns me when I try to piece this all together. Like, you still don't have enough sacks for the output of your defensive line and the money you spent to me to say, you deserve credit for this. I think they're making do with what they have in a positive way right now. Like DeAndre, they still signed DeAndre Swift, and I still thought that was a good signing because he was the second biggest free agent running back name to Saquon Barkley. Like, we all knew that. He was number two in that market. That was a good idea. But to not supplement him with a back that complements his outside style, how he runs outside zone well, how he does other things well, like pass catching, as we've seen, that is an indictment upon the front office. Like, you can make this work, but when it comes to the roster building itself, for how long?
The question I had and the why it popped up is because, like, okay, they've won three games in a row. Ryan Poles ultimately is the architect of everything that we see. Now, I'll give Ryan credit in this. He gets credit for making the trade that set up the acquisition of the number one overall pick with which he took Caleb Williams. You can debate whether or not Williams should have been the quarterback that he took with the number one overall pick, understanding he did no scouting of the guy who went number two and to this point has a better career than Caleb Williams.
NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Who was being compared in some say an unfair way on Monday night, as we mentioned.
Yes, but you get credit for, you know, putting yourself in position to have Lovie Smith help you get the number one overall pick on the last weekend of the season. You get credit for being the GM who got to be in charge when Ben Johnson got on a Zoom call and said, I want to coach the Chicago Bears, and ended the same Zoom call saying, I want to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You get credit for going out and getting what Ben Johnson, I guess, felt like he needed to make his team effective in year one, spending the first couple of picks on offensive players, one we've seen flash a lot more than the other, and neither, I would say, has lived up to what the billing of a number one or a number two pick should be. When you look at four guys taken in the first two rounds, you can say none of them, except for maybe Luther Burden, who had a late start because he was injured at the start of training camp, has lived up to that. But I can't give him much more credit than that, Layla, based on this small sample of evidence with the five games. Now, if they continue to win games and they get through the first half of the season with a winning record, we can revisit just how much credit Ryan Poles should get. But I guess I give him credit right now for not screwing things up further after what we had seen the first few seasons with him in charge.
See, and that's interesting because I thought, based on you even submitting the question, that you thought he needed more credit than what he was getting.
I thought I just gave him more credit than I would have given him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. It's like, it's not that Ryan Poles can't get out of probably what is the fans' doghouse in the decisions that he's made to this point. It's that he has some runway to make things right because Ben Johnson is bona fide, ready to stamp and approve him as a valuable and viable head coach in the National Football League.
It is true that a good head coach will fix a lot of your problems. he will do the most with the talent. And the way people wish that had happened, I think, on the North side, more with Craig Counsell, that is the case with a football coach. They have that kind of power. They have that effect on your win-loss record. They have that effect. And you're seeing Ben Johnson do that. I think you're seeing him make the most out of what he has, especially when he said he had simplified the playbook. That lets you know that this group of people can't run the things he wanted to run initially. And while some people see it as a red flag, good coaches will see it as a problem to solve. And I feel like that's what we've seen so far. He's taken it on as something where if the objective is simply to win games, then I consider it more of a problem solved because he's winning in spite of who he has. I think the record in drafting and the record in spending still stands on itself. Colston Loveland was taken 10th overall. Luther Burden was taken 39th overall. That was considered, of course, as we know, a steal. And he's made some incredible plays that really show you what he can do, the flashes that you talk about, Marshall. He's also seeing time on special teams, which I think, as we've seen, really does factor in and can be a really positive difference for a player. But Ozzie Trapillo still not being able to start? You drafted a project yet again? Jervon Dexter was drafted as a project. But fortunately for the other highly paid veterans on the defensive line, he's still probably your most successful pass rusher right now, outside of Dominique Robinson.
That's
if you
crazy.
Look at the numbers... And Dominique Robinson was in pass coverage, and I didn't think that was a great idea. But you saw a lot of the choices staring them in the face even on Monday. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt was more effectively neutralized thanks to a Dennis Allen defense. Dennis Allen was still hired by the Bears. But the reason we talk about Bill more than Kyle Manungai is because he's been starting level caliber in the NFL.
The other guy that you haven't mentioned yet, but I'm sure you're about to, is that other second round pick whose name we have not heard much of.
You're talking about Ozzie Trapillo? You're talking about Shamar Turner?
Shamar Turner.
And Shamar Turner was injured, as we saw before, but I feel like at least he's getting some playing time, which is more than I can say for a guy like Trapillo. And I'm a big believer that your first two round players should be part of the album cover, so to speak. They should be the difference makers. And while I'm here, the Denver Broncos have 30 sacks now on the season as a team.
Is that a lot?
30! That is 10 more than number two, Pittsburgh.
They did get to play Justin Fields, though, and get 9 of those sacks against him.
Woof. But also, by the way, Pittsburgh has a chance to close that gap tonight in what we are dubbing the Unk Bowl.
Well, we haven't dubbed it yet. We're going to decide later what we're going to dub it.
I don't know.
There's options there.
The stand on your with your hands on your hips and look into the distance bowl. The old head bull. We got a couple names. Panthers are still last in the league with 5 sacks as a team, and the Bears after Monday are now up to 8.
The fact that you said up to 8, we're still in single digits, and
They gave a sack to a ghost too. They gave a team sack, and I still don't know who got the credit for that. Jervon got 1.5, and Dominique Robinson got 0.5.
Yeah, and so the question goes back to, you know, as we talk about the Bears and where they are this season, 3-2, here on Raheemy, Harrison, Grody. What grade would you give Ryan Poles in 2025? Look, I know ultimately it's an incomplete. But right now, you gotta give him credit where credit is due and say, you didn't screw it up so bad that they couldn't have a winning record. That's really the way I look at it, Layla. They're good enough to have a winning record, and you could say because Ryan Poles got better at his job, or you could say in spite of Ryan Poles. I'm not ready to say in spite of Ryan Poles. It could go back that way if those sack numbers continue the way you just described them. Because remember what my question has been every offseason for the last 4 years. Who's getting to the quarterback? Who's getting to the quarterback? I was told Dio Odingbo was getting to the quarterback. I was told Montez Sweat was getting to the quarterback. Now, Montez Sweat, I thought, had a better game this past Monday than people want to admit. But Dio, have you seen much from Dio this year?
Not enough for that contract. And that's the point, is the Bears a lot of times will draft people and they will pay people based on potential rather than past performance. And it's fine to talk about now in this respect when you're still under a quarterback's rookie contract, but everybody gets expensive really quick. And look no further than, say, the Ravens as an example of how expensive and slow a defense can get quickly. Like, when you spend money on that side of the ball, it can absolutely hurt you.
And I'm just, I don't know. I want to know whether or not the people believe in this team the way I believe in this team. Because I believe Ben Johnson is the guy. I believe Caleb Williams is the guy. Still not sure about that defense. Got a lot more faith in the offense than the defense. But I do believe in Dennis Allen's ability to try to make something out of not as much as he needs.
Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards coming back made that defense look a lot better. And it was more effective. And I believe that TJ Edwards coming back was also a big reason the run defense was more effective. So two people can make a difference like that, especially when they're two of your best players on your team. But when it comes to trying to see how the GM gets factored into all of this, your choices and your players will reflect every single week in the NFL. And that's something that not only we do, but your opponent is going to analyze every single time.
And that's why this game with the Saints is a bit concerning, because I'm just, I need to see more of the foot on the throat of the team that they're facing when it's an inferior opponent. I know the Saints aren't as bad as their quote unquote 1-5 record would tell you, but they should win this game. It's at home, and I'm holding my breath because I'm a little bit worried about this Sunday's game, Layla. I mean, when I say a little bit, I'm a lot of bit worried about this Sunday's game.
309 says you literally never pay somebody for past performance. That has been said on this show and multiple shows on the Score. I am a different person. I have a different opinion sometimes than a lot of my coworkers. I don't think you pay somebody above market value for something they haven't shown that they can do yet. That's how I feel. I don't think you draft somebody in the second round based on something they haven't done yet, because you're putting a lot of faith in your system, and I have no faith that your system has worked yet. That's how I feel.
Also, 309, nobody complained about the sweat trade and extension when it happened. Hindsight is always 2020. It's not about...
Actually, they did. Mike Florio on this station questioned whether or not they were going to extend Montez Sweat, because that was a big piece of a question mark as to how much they gave up in the trade. And then we questioned when he got it, if he could live up to that price of the extension. And we were encouraged by what he did during that year. So that's not exactly true either.
Also, 708, how do you knock a defense that leads the league in takeaways? Listen.
When you go over the sack numbers, that's pretty easy. I'm not talking about takeaways. I'm talking about the pass rush.
It's got to be sustainable. And you need more quarterback pressure to be sustainable as a winner in this league.
That's it. I mean, and listen, did they take advantage of the opportunities they had in front of them and they tried to take away the ball? Absolutely. Did we give them credit for being 3-2? Yes. You can listen without context all you want, but there's a reason we're discussing this. Our producers today are Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can catch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. As we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we continue to ask, and we appreciate the feedback too, because we want to know what you think. Call us 312-644-6767. If you think that Ryan Poles deserves more credit, or how much should he get, tell us what you think. We continue the discussion with you.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Next.
Raheemi Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We know what we're building here. I think we're starting to believe in each other. The more time that we spend together, I feel that. I feel it building. Ultimately, you do want the respect of your peers, in particular, the people that you're working with. And I think that trickles outside of the building with how you compete and what you put on tape as well.
And that's why it's okay to take things personally, especially when they turn into wins. Three in a row, in fact. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That, of course, was Ben Johnson. We're taking your calls. What do you think? How much credit do you want to give Ryan Poles? Should he receive from you after the Bears' 3-2 start to the season, that win after the bye week? We want to know. 312-644-6767. What are you giggling about?
Just some of the text responses to this particular question. 309. Don't get me wrong. I still give polls a D+, but I do have to acknowledge he got a couple of things right.
Yeah, that's incredibly fair. Like, that is 100% fair. And I think there's a, you know, a discussion talking about based on past performance and what they can do in the future. Yes, I feel like there's wish casting that goes on with changing people entirely from who you know them to be. And that's where I'm going with this. There needs to be some credit given to the past production, or else guys like Trey Hendrickson don't get extended.
Ooh, Trey Hendrickson, he could be available in less than 3 weeks when the trade deadline comes. But although they did trade for that guy, Joe Flacco, so they're not, like, you know, putting up the white flag for the season, I guess, Cincinnati.
Am I disturbingly intrigued by, like, the Cincinnati-Baltimore confluence of whatever's happening there?
We will definitely.
I am. So how much credit do you think Ryan Poles should get? We go to the phones. Sam in Niles. Sam, you're on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody on the Score.
Yeah, I think you guys do a great job. I just want to make this real quick. I really don't think Poles deserves that much credit at all. He still hasn't really completed, like you were talking about, the sack situation. We got that guy from the Colts. He really hasn't done anything. And I just wanted to get your thoughts and see what you guys think about that in general.
Well,
thank you, Sam.
My thoughts are real simple on this. Ever since Dayo Odingbo became a thing, I was like, is it actually going to become a thing? Because I was like, how many sacks will he actually get? And how many sacks would you need him to get in 2025 to make it be like, okay, I get the signing now? Let me tell you something. I don't know the number of sacks he would need to get, but I could tell you this. The pace he's on right now, I'll give him the benefit of doubt and round up. Four. He's on pace to get 4 sacks.
Is for $20 million a year? Or what was it, 19 some odd?
Too much. We can just say too much in general. I think for Dayo Odingbo to really click here, he's got to get to the point where he's, you know, upwards of 8 sacks.
That's a three-year, $48 million signing bonus.
Wait. Whew.
So okay, three-year $48 million contract with a $13.5 million signing bonus. I'm sorry, those numbers are hard to read out loud.
So he's getting paid $16 million a year.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to pay more than $2 million per sack.
Like, just so you're aware, the cap hit next year, 2026 season, $20,500,000 American.
Dayo is going to have to do more. It's pretty simple. He's got a pass deflection. He's got a sack.
My eyes crossed when I read that. I'm sorry, guys. That was hard to read live. Woof.
He does have 3 quarterback hits, though.
For what they're paying, you got to get more. Didn't we do the math right and we realized that, like, the Lions were paying the least?
Yes.
On the defensive side of the ball?
That is correct.
Because that, again, Aiden Hutchinson, when you draft a guy like him, you don't have to spend a absolute junk ton of money yet. And they've got 19 sacks as a team, for example. So that's pretty significant, all this. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question, because I think one of the biggest issues I have is still with the running back position. DeAndre Swift had a great game. We can all agree he was probably one of the best players on the Bears. Is that a fluke? Should we expect that moving forward from DeAndre Swift and the running game?
That's an incredibly fair question to all of this, because the other sidebar to this, Robbie, is if DeAndre Swift continues to do well, I don't think 175 yards from the line of scrimmage total is an expectation. That's got to be your outlier. But over 100 yards rushing, for example, how many times is he going to do that season? Does it make you look differently at the running back position and the running back room as a whole for the Bears? I think we all like DeAndre Swift, but I don't know how sustainable it is to be able to expect him to do that game at every single game.
I don't think he has to do it every single game. I don't think it's got to be on DeAndre Swift. I was told by Ben Johnson their running back's room is good enough. And so when he says it, I look at it differently than when Ryan Poles says it, for instance. And so now I saw the production out of the bye week.
Right.
Continue it. Just continue it. And I'm saying outrush your opponent. Get 100 and, let's say, 30 yards per game rushing total. Now, if rushing and receiving, Swift is averaging 100 yards from here on out, I think I'm good. The combined yards, I'm saying.
And see, 847 has an interesting point here. I do not give anyone credit for the success. I do not think they are successful. They are lucky, leading the league in turnovers, but 23rd in point differential at minus 15 is the reason. But here's the thing about that point differential. You know it's skewed because of the Lions game.
It definitely is skewed because of the Lions game.
Like,
the Lions
game counts. That's the hard part is I don't know that you can really look at that either and say we hang our hat on this statistic.
No, I would look at point differential less. I look more at the, let's be honest, EPA.
7.73 is you captured how I'm feeling. That's why I had such trouble reading there. That $20 million cap hit on Odangbo contract next season. 20.5. 500 signs part of somebody, you know?
And the 309 says, I am patient with GMs, defended pace, not longer than most, but Poles had a poor offseason other than interior O-line, and he's losing me. I'm not a fan of the 2025 draft at all. Jarrett and Odangbo are looking like terrible signings.
I'm not there. Like, they extended Joe Tooney. They signed Drew Dahlman, which I thought was the right move. Like, I will emotionally overpay for a center, and I don't think they overpaid because it was so frustrating for so long for me.
But I understand people wanting to give Ben Johnson way more credit than Ryan Poles, because let's be honest, he's the biggest difference between this year and last year.
Right. I mean, that's it. The coaching absolutely matters. And frankly, I think it even matters more than we talk about it. And we talk about it all the time.
Work in progress. That's all I'll say. They look like they're putting in the work, and I am seeing progress.
Yeah, and I understand when 815 says they should have scored more points the last 2 weeks. I think the Saints, even though I hear the weather is not looking great for Sunday, I still think that's an excellent opportunity to be able to do so. We're going to get more on the Saints, by the way, with friend of the show, Fletcher Mackle, who has been in New Orleans for so long that he, you know, he's got familiarity with the entire Sean Payton coaching tree. I bring that up for a reason. He's at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, though, on Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score, we shift gears back to baseball because I think it might be finally time to grade the Kyle Tucker trade.
Everybody's going to have an opinion on this one. I certainly do.
You heard. That's next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.